Thank you for joining What is the Mood? I am your host, Nick Taylor. Today we have a special guest who will be speaking at our free virtual coaches clinic on November 19th, 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time, Kyle Kanotek. Kyle grew up playing multiple sports, eventually finding his love for soccer. Kyle played professionally in the U.S. and overseas as well. He is currently a co-founder of True Pro Development, located in Geneva, Illinois, and soon to be Prospect Heights as well. Kyle, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. I know winter's coming, so we better get those soccer players indoor here soon.
Yeah, but, man. I like to toughen them up a little bit, though, you know, like see how much they really want it. Like, hey, you're a Viking? Go out there, man. Little snow, no problem.
I love that. Test their mental real quick.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, it'll be pretty tough to get to know you without first knowing what your soccer career, how it began and, you know, how that helped shape who you are today currently. Can you speak upon that?
Yeah. So, you know, if like you, we were talking earlier, neither of us, well, at least me personally, right? Like I'm not a tall guy, right? And I love sports. And for whatever reason with soccer, I was really good at it. And I think when you're young, you're naturally inclined to something you're really good at. And I enjoyed every bit of it. And that's the great thing about being young is like, you enjoy the game. I was just talking to a player recently, when you get older, it's like, it's more like, well, I enjoy being good at the game. When you're young, I just enjoyed the game. I loved every bit of it, running a lot, right? I had my bowl cut, man. So I was like, you know, the whole soccer bowl cut. And I was like the guy flying around with the mushroom bowl cut, and it just worked out perfect. So I started there, started in Geneva is where I grew up for the most part. I was a little bit here and there in Streamwood, but when I started playing soccer, I was around Geneva. So I played for local club here, Campton United Soccer Club, that's in Geneva, St. Charles. Ended up making the move about 14 or 15. The team kind of broke apart I was on. And then I made a move to the number one men's club in the country, Chicago Magic at that time. And then, you know, had a really good history with them, won everything almost a youth player could win, minus a national championship. And then, you know, college, pro from there. But that's how it began. I'm not going to get into all that stuff unless you want me to now.
I'd like to know where you went to college. That's always a fun one.
Yeah. So I went to Northern Illinois University and a local school, and they gave me a really good offer. The coach there was awesome. He ended up moving to Oregon State my second year there. But I mean, I'll tell you what, go Huskies. Right now, they're having one of their best seasons ever. They have one loss. I think they're ranked 16th, but they just had a big win against a ranked team. So they could be in the top 15. So it was a good program when I was there, and it's the best it's ever been right now.
That's awesome that it's continued to grow.
Yeah.
What about your professional career? Where did that turn after college at Northern?
Yeah. So that was crazy. And you and I have talked about this a little bit in the past, but my senior year, I was getting a lot of looks because I was on, it's called a PDL. It's all now called USL2, but it's like the fourth league over here. It's not technically professional because college players play in it. It's really, well, there are some maybe professional players in it, but certain teams. But either way, I was playing with Chicago Fire. We made it to the national championship. So we were the second best team. And pretty much everyone from that team got drafted this year I'm talking about, because we played the end of the game. It was like August was the end of our champion. We lost in the national championship. We lost to Ventura County Fusion. And the sad part is the higher seed was supposed to play home. So we were supposed to play home, but I guess Jimmy Buffett was having a concert at the Fire Stadium.
Come on, right? Jimmy, what's going on?
Man, I for the rest of my life, no matter how good of music he has, man, I don't like Jimmy.
You just can't like that.
I walk out of the whatever, wherever I'm at, the restaurant or whatever. But yeah, so we had to go all the way to California. We ended up losing that game, but like I said, everyone got pulled into the top league here, the MLS. And my one of my first trainings back, I tore my ACL. So I had to redshirt. I had to redshirt that year, came back the next year, delayed my college career essentially just because, like, hey, I just want to try to play. That was a goal. And I went to a USL combine, which is a second league. The USL is a second league in the US. So I came back. I had an okay season. It's hard to come back from an ACL. It was decent, though. I played outside back, which wasn't a professional position for me, but it's the position they played me in college. And I went to this combine, played midfield and outside back at that combine. There was a Japanese GM there. None of the Americans wanted much to do with me just because I'm small, right? And like nothing wrong with it. I also wasn't that good as I thought I was, but I was also small. So if you're not very good technically, well, you got to be, or sorry, if you're small, you have to be really good technically, right? Yeah. So, but none of them want anything to do with me, but the Japanese guy for a professional league in Japan, which is better than any of the leagues over here, right? Like at least as I've seen and I look in my eyes, at that time, or not now, now the USL is great. And maybe back then there were some teams that were really, really good, but he offered me an opportunity over there. I went over there, man, no one spoke any English. So it was like, it was the great, one of the craziest opportunities you can go to. It is a small, you know, prefecture in Japan. That's what they call it. And it was a crazy opportunity, but I'm like, hey man, I got nothing else. And this is a fantastic opportunity. I think they offered it to three guys and two guys declined it. And maybe they had a USL or something. And I accepted it. And that's what I heard at least. And I went over there, man, it was a great experience. I got to like, I didn't see it because I injured my ankle the first day, but like one of the best Japanese players of all time, we played them in a friendly, and I would have played them if I didn't bust up my ankle when I was over there, but it was a cool experience. I learned a lot from those guys in that culture. Then I came back. I trained with a local mentor here. His name's Brett Hall. He trains all the pros. He's a role model and mentor for life for me. For about a year, we went over to Holland. I got to play against, I didn't know this, but we were just playing friendly. We played against one of the best players in the world right now. His name is Virgil van Dijk. He plays for Liverpool. Yeah. He's been up like before he tore his ACL, he was up for, you know, top three or four players in the world. We played against his team when he was in Holland, and then nothing happened there because they're not taking Americans in Holland. And essentially I came back and signed a couple contracts, two or three contracts back here in the USL before heading to Europe.
Yeah. That's awesome. The story about Japan, just throwing it to the fire. Don't know how to really communicate when you get there, but that's, I mean, speaks volumes of, you know, how much you love the game and what you're willing to do to play it and grow in it. You mentioned all these places you've been. Any stories about some cool, maybe off the field venues you were able to look at when you were visiting Japan, Holland, anything you saw cool or any countries that really stuck out to you?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, my style is, and when I was there, man, I was working. My style was like, hey, I'm not here to go on vacation. Like, you know, some of these guys were like, hey, we're on our break in the middle way through the season. We're going to go to Spain or whatever, you know, and things like this. I was always like, hey, you know what? I can vacation when I'm done playing. So I can't say I've been to like, you know, any of these amazing places. When I was younger, I had opportunities to go to Europe. And because I was with, so I was on the regional team. So like the 14 states from the Midwest, and they pretty much paid for a trip for us to go to like Rome and see some of these, like, Italy, play some big teams there. And then I got to see some really cool things in Rome and some of the, you know, the churches and monasteries and everything they have there. Right. But when I was out, man, like, I got to see some really good teams to play in Holland. I went with Brett Hall, my mentor, and he brings the guys group. We saw some of the best teams, Spanish teams play like Dutch teams and things like this, but it was an outside menus. When I was young and I went to Italy, we went to go see AC Milan, which was awesome, man, to go in that, you know, in the stadium that AC and Inter, two of the best Italian teams and teams in the world share the same stadium. To see that was amazing, man. It was crazy. And they had to put us in a certain section, man, because we're Americans and we're not their fans. And like, they had bodyguards around us. So we were actually with the other team, not bodyguards, but the guys with the plastic shields, right? The transparent shields around us. We were with the other fans, man, because like, we don't want those people with the Milan fans pretty much. But so that's when I did it. Never on my own did I go to games. And you know, I'm always like, I can go now, right? Like if I want to, I can go to Europe now. But it was business back then. But what I would say about every country has its own thing, right? They all have their own thing. Japan, just nicest people in the world, man. No matter what, you go into a gas station, like they're the happiest, nicest people in the world. Then you have like Sweden, who are just, it's a very, very considerate country. Sweden and Finland, both Scandinavia, very considerate. The people are really empathetic. They think about the people around them and they're very environmentally conscious, which is awesome. And then Slovakia, beautiful country, great people as well. Beautiful country, very hilly. It's so cool to see. You go on a road trip, like in Sweden, it's really flat. In Finland, and it's very flat. You go to Slovakia, there's mountains all around you, man. It's just like road trips are fun. You just look out the window. Like Sweden, it's just like flat, right? But like road trips in Slovakia were awesome.
That sounds a lot better than driving through Illinois to go to Florida.
Sweden's like Illinois, man. It's not, but it's more beautiful, but it's closer.
With all that soccer experience and, you know, just traveling, what would you say your greatest achievement either is on the field or off the field? And if you want to give one for both, I'm sure we'd like to know.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, when you say that, I got to think about it because like I just love the process, right? Like the product wasn't always so important to me, but there were moments like you got to celebrate and things like this were fantastic. Like, I helped the team promote in Finland. So like that night was fantastic. Like, you know, like it's just like everyone's so happy, right? The celebration. It's not just a team, it's the whole city. You're helping them go to a new league, right? Like, so that was cool. It's like just feeling all the positivity in the atmosphere, right? Like everyone's like, you helping a city do something they've wanted. I think it was the highest they've ever been in their career. And I actually did that in Sweden as well, but I wasn't there. There were things that happened. So I actually wasn't in the country. I helped them get there. And then I had to leave the country for them. But my buddy sent videos and stuff just to rub it in my face, man. And then the off the field was probably getting a 4.0 in the business administration when I was in school, just because it was a goal I had set for myself. And it's a pretty hard student athlete thing. Is like,
they're not many players. It's like a full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. There are not many players that have done that. And I set a goal for myself and it was just like, it was a reward that the process had worked, right? I had been able to put in the work and that was like, it was a great feeling to, you know, 4 hours of 4 years of work had culminated in me learning a lot and about myself and about business and also accomplishing something I had set my mind to.
Yeah. Were you really good with like setting a plan each day in terms of what you wanted to accomplish?
Yeah. So I really was. I think that was it. It's like, hey, I had these goals that I needed to get done. And to be honest, I'm not going to say when I was in college, I was perfect. Like I had these long-term goals, right? Like, but like, you know, like week by week or day by day, I'm like, hey, got to get this done on this day. And sometimes I didn't always plan enough time, but I would grind, man. I would sleep 3-4 hours. Like if I didn't plan enough time, like, you know, I got to get this done, man. At the end of the day, sleep, I can make that up later, but I got to get the studying done and I got to get, you know, or I have to get my soccer training done as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you were talking about your career, you're just a grinder. You love that grind and going to the practice, being on your own, probably doing drills was your mentality. So let's kind of move into True Pro Development located in Geneva. What was the idea behind creating that? And what would you guys say your mission is?
Yeah. So True Pro and True Player, and they're connected, right? Like they're both part of the same thing, but they hit different demographics a bit. And you and I talked about this. So both of those, our mission is essentially so what we're doing is we're trying to help players, learn the skills of the game. So essentially, if you're building something, right, like you have maybe the idea of like maybe instructions, right, how to build it and like what to do, what goes where and all these things. And in our opinion, that's kind of what a team coach does, is like, here's the instructions. Here's where you need to be. Here's how the team needs to play. But then in our mind, we're like, hey, you need certain tools, right? And the coaches they teach those tools, but they don't have time to give every single one and be like, no, that's not a screwdriver. You need a hammer for that, right? Or that screwdriver should be a Phillips, right? It shouldn't be a flathead. Like, and that's what we do, is essentially we give them the tools and we keep putting the tools in their tool belt. And now they go to the team trainings and they're like, oh yeah, I can do those instructions now because I have a screwdriver, right? I can put that screw in. Before, I just had a hammer. I'm like, what? How do I get this thing in there, right? Like you can do it, right? But you may not get the same result. So I think that's a good way of putting what we do, is like, we don't do anything like that the coaches do, because they're usually doing a really good job, right?
Yeah.
But what I've learned overseas and what I saw over with myself, and I know they're doing this in other countries because it's proven. It's like, if you do things in smaller groups and more privately with players on specifically the tools they need, especially as they get older, then you're going to see a lot bigger dividends than just saying, hey, let's do something that fits every player, because every player has got their own function. And our mission is pretty simple. It's to, you know, help players get better in much better in less time. And what that's going to do is help them fall in love with, they're going to fall in love with the game, but they're going to create a growth mindset. So we're not in this thing where like, hey, it's, you know, just get them more reps, come to us 7 hours a week. We're like, no, we, if you do an hour with us, and then we do what's called pro work, is where we, hey, they analyze what they did in the session. They go through the week and they do their own. It's technically homework if you want to think about it like that, but they go through the week, they do three things we did from the training. We try to teach them two or three things. And then they go back and they say, how many times did I do this? How many of this did I do? How many, you know, how many reps, repetitions did I do? And then how many times did I use it in the game? And then we're saying, hey, now you have the tools. You're able to hone the tools yourself, fine tune them. And now you're able to go use them in the game. Like that's everything, right? So we do that specifically. We have that and we have it. And I don't know if you want me to share my screen. I don't even know if it's possible, but it's going to be difficult for the bot, but people can go on our website. If you go to truepd.com and you can go on either side, True Pro or True Player, you'll see we have player tools and you can go underneath there. And they're different for the older and the younger demographics, but you can see we have forms for players to fill out. It's like, and we look at that, like how responsible have you been in the week? Right. So at the end of the day, it's teaching soccer skills, but it's teaching these players, giving them the fishing pole, right? Like this is how you teach yourself. This is how you grow yourself. And if we can instill that growth mindset, man, our job is done. Because then whether it's outside of soccer, like, well, I can get A's because look what I did in soccer, right? So that's kind of the mission here is to help them get better and understand and instill a growth mindset.
Yeah, I really like that. And I remember when I first met you, you talked about that form that, you know, doesn't necessarily have to do with just soccer, more about your responsibilities on and off the field. Yeah. And I thought that is something that is so not appreciated probably in big team sports at high schools. It's more like, I assume you show up to practice, we do the practice, you go home, we do it the next day. So I like that you guys are kind of referring back to the week as individuals as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Coach's clinic coming up on the 19th, what should participants expect from you in terms of what they're learning on that day?
Yeah. So for the coach's clinic, I think the big things and some things I'm going to focus on is how to connect with players, right? And of all different positions, because we deal with players that are on a lot of them that are struggling, right? Like they used to be on the first team, now they're on the second team. Of course, maybe it's really good clubs, right? So these guys still play in high school and sometimes they do really well in high school, but and we deal with high school kids that aren't playing on varsity, right? I have a player that I train weekly, right? He's an awesome player. He does fantastic in club, but for some reason, and he plays over some of the guys that played in high school, some reason they weren't playing. So we talk with him on like where he should be at mentally and how he should deal with this and how he should approach the coach, right? So maybe it's good to look from a perspective that if you are a coach or administrator, look at, hey, how does a player address a coach, right? And we talk about things like this. And we talk about how to find the player and keep their confidence up. Because I tell you, I've been overseas. I mean, my last coach was fantastic. He actually just won the Olympics. He was an assistant for the Brazil national team, right? For soccer. I tell you what, he was a player's coach, man. And this is one of the most important things at a high level is keeping a happy locker room, right? Like the tactics, they're not the most important thing, just the tactics, but it's like, how can we, they are important, but how can you keep a happy locker room? And right, there's guys that are not going to be playing. And when those guys aren't playing, well, how do you motivate them? Like, hey, if you work on this and this and this, or you say, hey, maybe this isn't the right game for you this week because it's very direct and you're a good player. It's like finding the best in each player and then trying to also navigate where they're at mentally and where they're at and trying to make sure you don't lose them. Because sometimes you have a player that can be very, very important to the team and he's not playing or he's in bad form for a little bit. And if you don't address that, you may lose that player for the entire season. And he could have been a starter halfway through. He just found his form, right? So I think that's what we do and we deal with is like, we deal with a lot of individual situations where it's like, hey, you got to talk to this guy. He's having this problem, things like this. And it's ability to look from the other perspective and take some of maybe my experience playing on so many teams with so many different managers and just taking what I found is good from them, how to connect with each individual player, find their goals, find what they're looking for, find how to keep them motivated, even in those tough times when they're not playing or things aren't being successful for them.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially when we think about coaches at the high school level, middle school level, that they're really connecting with their players on a deeper level than just showing up to practice and completing whatever's on that practice agenda for that day. Well, Kyle, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day today. I'm sure all of our participants on the 19th are going to be excited to hear from you. So again, thank you for joining.
Yeah, I appreciate everything, Nick. I love what you guys are doing and everything you're doing with this podcast. So, you know, I'm here to help. If anyone, you know, needs help, they can definitely reach out. We have contact things on our website for people from, you know, yeah, I reach out to us all the time about things that just to help them out or information. So appreciate all your time, Nick.
Thank you.